Circe, a Greek legend, Circe was a sorceress notorious for changing men into swine. Here she is, Circe, Mother Church. So when you hear people talking about going to church, just remember that Mother Church and the whole word, the actual word church, goes back to the ancient pagan goddess Circe, who turned and changed men into swine with her intoxicating wine of her intoxication. I think something's even said about that in the book of Revelation. The harlot that rides the beast made the peoples of the world drunk on her wine. Well, that goes directly back to the church. Now, another interesting symbol in something that we've all seen many times, but probably do not really realize the occult or hidden significance of this symbol: the headdress of the Pope. The papal headdress is called the papal tiara. Now, back it off a little bit. We'll see. Here is a picture from a magazine called Christ. You need to back it up a little bit. There you go. Christ before Caiaphas. This is a drawing from the Middle Ages of Jesus being priest of Caiaphas. Caiaphas being the Hebrew high priest. You will see the same headdress on Caiaphas that you see on the Pope. You see the high priest? Now let me show it to you better. Here is the high priest, Caiaphas. And he's wearing the same papal headdress as the Pope wears. Okay? Now, you don't need to move it anymore. Now, hold on. Here is Caiaphas, the Hebrew high priest. Here is the Pope. This high priest headdress of Caiaphas, we're talking about the Hebrew religion, and the Pope, is called the papal tiara. The papal tiara, or the Pope's headdress. Now, where does the papal tiara, or the Pope's high priest headdress, come from? Well, let me back it up a little bit. Now, we will see that in the ancient world, and perhaps we can zoom in on the yellow print there. The supreme deity in the ancient world, many of the supreme deities were fish gods. They were, as we're going to see, fish gods. Now, you need to back it off. So this papal headdress, the papal tiara, is connected directly to the old ancient fish gods. Now here we have Anes, the fish man. You'll see that this god is wearing the fish's head. Here we have one on the left of the one of the gods wearing a fish costume. Here we have another one of the gods, a fish god. And let's see, here's another one from the old Assyrian, I believe, fish god. Here we have another one, Dagon. Now, Dagon, it's interesting, was the old Phoenician Canaanite deity, Dagon, the fish god. And you will see he's wearing a fish's headdress, and you'll see the fish, the body of the fish. Here it is better. Dagon, the fish god. So the ancient priest and the old Phoenician Canaanite Babylonian system, coming out of the old ancient Babylonian system, were worshippers of the Phoenician Canaanite god Dagon, D-A-G-O-N, and they wore the fish's symbol on them, symbolizing that they were in subjection to the great Dagon, which is where we get our word even today, dragon or Dagon. Dagon is the fish god, as we said. You will see, in this picture, you will see the priest of Dagon There's a beautiful color picture of this in museums. The priest of Dagon wearing their fish regalia. The priest of Dagon in the old Babylonian, Phoenician, Canaanite system. Okay. Now, again, we go back to the papal headdress being the symbol for Dagon, the fish god. Here we have the papal headdress, and when one puts it, lays it down this way, now you see the fish god. Consequently, the papal headdress is a fish head. Here you will see the priest with his fish head. There it is, the fish's head. So the next time you see the papal headdress, just remember, this is the fish head, Dagon, the ancient Babylonian fish god.
So in his movie Dagon, which I highly recommend you go see, he shows how the fish people turned everyone away from God, and it brought them together under their dark lord, Ea. But for H.P. Lovecraft, these merfolk were no beauties. Well, perhaps they're beautiful. They were also very deadly. But they would corrupt your soul and take you over genetically and then bring you down to the dark one in the deep, the one that ever sleeps. So who are these fish people and why do we keep seeing them? And do they have a connection to our goddess in Sirius? Now check this picture out. This has Isis standing there. Are those fish scales I see? Could we be talking about fish people from Sirius? Because Isis is the Egyptian symbol of Sirius. But Orion, the one symbolized by the phallus, Osiris is a symbol of Orion. So here we have the goddess Isis with her torch, or Columbia, whichever you prefer, on the obelisk. The conjunction of Sirius and Orion has been told to us by Dr. Sala as the progenitors of the Earth, as the creating race. Orion is known as the hunter, as well, so was Nimrod of the Bible. Could this explain why we have a phallus in due relation to the capital breast? Because we are a planet that is ruled by beings from Sirius and Orion. Are those fish scales on Osiris? Well, the fish people, they didn't fade away. We have not seen 90% of our seas. Now here we have, I missed that one. That is Enlil. He's sometimes known as Bel. He's also known as Ea. And he's depicted as having a fish head with human body. Could this be the purpose behind the Pope's hat? Could the Pope be in an unholy allegiance with the fish people? And could these fish people have come to this planet in ancient craft, and hold that one a second, Sharon, and generated human beings on this planet in their labs? Now, this picture has been around for 5,000 years. We never could understand. Could it be that they are showing us that they genetically crafted us to be their worker slaves? Now, the interesting thing to note, the difference between apes and humans, webbed fingers. Humans swim. Humans actually have webbed fingers, webbed toes. Our hair flows with water. Apes, nope. Apes won't jump in the water. Apes won't get anywhere near the water. There's a big difference between apes and humans, and it has to do with aquatic beings.